21 is the score. The Rock putting up 448 yards of total offense and holding Edinburgh 228. And really, when you look at it, Edinburgh's offensive yardage really is on just a few big plays. Tanaz Gregory, a 75-yard touchdown reception, a 56-yard run by Walter Fletcher that started the game for a touchdown run. So, you know, right there is 120 of that yard. So the Rock really doing a nice job if you take away those two big plays. And as we look around the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, looks like a surprise today and a near upset as IUP almost went down for the third straight game.
Yeah, they were battle-tested by a Clarion team that if the Rock are able to hold this league, that's lead, rather, that's where they make the trip to next Saturday. And just note to self, write that in the side notes of this game note, don't look past the Eagles. They gave IUP a run for their money, and it's never easy to go on the road. You and I were talking about that because you've got this Mercyhurst-Seton Hill score. Seton Hill snaps their 20-game losing streak by beating Mercyhurst 34-33. It's tough to go on the road in the PSAC. That's why that win last week by the Rock was very impressive. But those noon kickoffs, I'm telling you, and you've always, that was when I first started doing this, you're like, noon kickoffs in Erie, they are just a nightmare. Noon kickoffs anywhere. You're getting these guys up early. You know, they're making a bus trip. They're just not warmed up. Things are just a little bit different. So, good for the Griffins in the win column.
Yeah, right now at the start of the second quarter, Cal leading Gannon by 1 point, 7-6. Here's the kickoff, and it is Eric Glover-Williams who receives it at about the 13, and he goes up over the 20 where he's tripped up and knocked down at the 25-yard line. So the Rock winning the toss to start the game and deferred to the second half. So they get the ball with the lead of 45-21. And if things go according to the apparent game plan, it's touch the ball and score every time you have it. They've done that every drive with the exception of one. And that was one that was a turnover on downs that appeared that they had gotten the first down. Henry Litwin was at the first down marker and then was hit and knocked backwards, and they actually gave the tackle, and so that took away a first down. Right away, though, we're going to put the ball on the ground. Here's Wes Hills, and he's on his feet and is stacked up at the line of scrimmage but keeps stretching things enough to pick up 2 yards on the first down carry.
Yeah, they decide to go with the outside run to kick things off. And actually, you know what? I'd have to take a look at that. Maybe it was a designed inside run that he bounced to the outside. Either way, they pick up a few yards, and you're looking at a second down and about 8 now.
Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He drops back. Here comes pressure to the outside. High catch by Jermaine Wynn, who is dropped.
He's hurt.
And he did not come down well. He's going to pick up maybe, or did he not hold on to the ball? Now there's a flag in the backfield, but Jermaine Wynn has not gotten up off the turf. It looked like he fell awkwardly as he was trying to come down with that ball. And that is not good news, because Jermaine has 3 touchdowns from Roland Rivers today, is a key part of that return game, and has really started to emerge out of the slot receiving role.
We did have a flag come in late. They're going to get a roughing the passer penalty against Edinburgh, so the Rock will pick up the first down. But as you mentioned, Jermaine Wynn, who's had a heck of a game today, he now finally gets up with the help of some trainers. And actually, I'm thinking that may have been a groin injury there for Wynn.
He is walking very gingerly.
He's walking
off the
gingerly
field.
And actually, when I'm thinking about that reaction now, that may be that doesn't feel good.
No. So the penalty will give the Rock a first down and move the ball out across the 40 to the 42-yard line. So something negative becomes a positive for the Rock, at least. A trip receiver look here on the near sideline. The Rock moving right to left right now on your radio dial with the trip receivers on the Rock sideline. And here is the handoff to Wes Hills, and he stretches it to the outside and gets hit, but he goes up over top of that defender to pick up a couple more. And what's going on here? We've got Edinburgh celebrating like they picked up a fumble.
The officials are pointing that it is still slippery Rock football.
So the excitement tempered immediately by the officials as Wes got the ball across the 45 to the 47, a gain of 5.
He does a nice job of, taking a broken play and making something positive out of it. I mean, obviously, to pick up a gain of 6 on that is quite remarkable. You had a flood of white jerseys in the interior. Wes Hills takes it to the outside, uses his speed, gets to the sideline, and then implements some power.
There's a play fake and a handoff, and that's Jakar Berry.
Actually, we had a screen pass underneath.
No, he faked it. Yeah. I was watching Barry up the middle, and he screen passed it to Henry Litwin.
And that's what he's so good at. I can't tell you how many times last week Rivers holds that ball in the chest of the running back before pulling it out and realizing he has an open guy.
8-yard grab by Henry Litwin, who's having himself a game as well. So first down now, and 10, the Rock in Edinburgh territory to the 44. And this will be the handoff this time to Jakar Berry, and Jakar is stacked up at the line of scrimmage, tries to dart his way around some of the tacklers, but is brought down after a 1-yard carry.
It's a lot easier to say, hey, he should have ran this way whenever you're up in the press box and you can evaluate the whole field and you're not running behind a green jersey. Jakar Berry, I think if he bounces that to his left, there's actually a lot more room there. I think he tried to squeeze in between two Rock offensive linemen. There was nothing where he decided to go, at least from this vantage point. I think if he bounces that to the left, there would have been some room to run.
Here's a pump fake. Now Roland Rivers looks topside, now near side, and wide open by himself, Austin Scott. First down and more, trips up over a defender and gains even further. Down inside the 20, and he goes out of bounds at the 14-yard line.
Laps in coverage by Edinburgh, but Roland Rivers staying in the pocket despite pressure. Jakar Berry with a chip block. Didn't really deter the defender, the outside linebacker, but somewhere Austin Scott was just left wide open, and a nice play by Rivers to take advantage of these Fighting Scott's mistake.
Yeah, and a 30-yard grab for Austin. First and goal at the 18-yard line. Or check that. We're at the 13-yard line. Now here's Roland Rivers calling his own number, and he gets inside the 5 before he's dragged down at the 3, and that'll be a gain of 10.
Speed option to the left side. You had Roland Rivers working alongside of Jakar Berry, sees a spot right off the left tackle. Rivers explodes to the gap. He's fun to watch, and he's also an effective runner because he gets low to the ground. He's not an up-and-down type guy. He's going to get level with a lot of the defenders he plays. He knows how to run the ball, and he does a really nice job with it.
The orange sticks are dropped to the ground. It is first and goal from the 3-yard line for the Rock on their first drive of the second half, and they already lead this game 45-21. Roland Rivers in the shotgun, sidecar Jakar Berry, and he's going to look to throw. Now here comes the pressure, and he's going to be sacked for the first time today and dropped all the way back at the 11-yard line. That'll be a sack of 8 yards.
Love the call by the Edinburgh defensive coordinator to send the house on that. You need to try to get something going. They've decided to go man-on-man coverage with the wide receivers and bring the linebackers up through the middle. Slippery Rock, I just don't think, was expecting that pressure to come, and so Roland Rivers gets the ball, and all of a sudden here are a bunch of Fighting Scots right in front of them. I think a nice surprise blitz call by by Edinburgh.
David Ballou and Miles Turner were the initial defenders that got to Roland Rivers and are credited for the sack. Here's Rivers now, dump off pass, Jakar Berry pulls it in. He's got to beat two guys. He does. He's in for the touchdown. So they recover very quickly after the sack, and really that's, my goodness, the second time all day that they got pressure of any significance on Roland Rivers, and the other one resulted in a roughing the passer penalty.
Yeah, late delay for Jakar Berry. He's in for pass protection, then releases when he realizes Edinburgh's only sending 4. The Rock offensive line doing a nice job of providing a significant time for Roland Rivers. Berry escapes out of the backfield. They check down, and he's able to get into the end zone. But like I mentioned before, I think that pressure that Edinburgh brought just completely surprised Slippery Rock. I think they were expecting them to go full-blown coverage as opposed to sending the house.
And on a play in which Jermaine Wynn was injured, and it looked like things were going to slow down for the Rock, a roughing the passer penalty against the Fighting Scots enabled a drive to really hit high gear for the Rock. 8 plays, 75 yards in 4 minutes and 3 seconds. Jakar Berry, an 11-yard touchdown pass from Roland Rivers, who is rolling down that river today, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, that is his 4th touchdown pass of the day. He's now 21 of 28 for 353 yards.
Those numbers are insane. I mean, 52-21 is the score with 10:50 to go, and those offensive firepower. I mean, at halftime, the Rock had 450 yards of offense. They just continue to pour it on. Hey, give a lot of credit to Justin Roper and the offensive coaching staff for getting this Rock team prepared to come out and give them a game plan that was going to work. And then, of course, the guys actually in the green jerseys have done a beautiful job on offense.
One thing that we did not mention yet today, and we should, it was mentioned in the Sean Lutz show, the coach's show to start our broadcast, but Dakota Clanigan is out this week with a concussion, so he was not available. In fact, they had two players with concussions sustained in the IUP game last week. Tony Pilato, backup offensive lineman, transfer in from Pitt, also went down to a concussion. So the Rock now down two receivers, with Jermaine Wynn sitting on the training table right now being addressed, and it looks like he is dealing with a groin issue. Here's that squibber kick again, and it's picked up by Gaelic at his 17, and he goes right up the hole and has Jake Chaplin to beat, and he beats him, and he's down the sideline. Here comes Braden Fuffman, and he's not going to get near him. Kyle Gaelic breaks it for a touchdown, but hold on, we've got a flag all the way back at the, 37-yard line, and this one probably coming back. Boy, Kyle Gaelic is having a day returning the ball.
I love the way he runs. It's just an explosion. There's no dancing. In special teams, if you have a seam, you take advantage of it, and it is indeed a holding against Edinburgh. But he saw a small gap that was left open, and then you just plow straight ahead. That's always been my philosophy on special teams. You know, running east to west, you got to be north-south. You got to be heading upfield whenever you get the ball, because those yards are precious. If you're timing and yards in that particular case are what you're looking at here, especially in punt coverage, but even in the kickoff too, you get that ball, okay, how far were those defenders able to make it up the field? If you're going straight forward, you could pick up 5-10 yards easily, not by trying to figure out, okay, where can I take it to the house if I stretch it 15 yards down the left side and then try to dance around a few defenders. If you're just running straight upfield, you can get some yards, and then even you'll have times like that where a gap will open up and you can have a big play.
Here's the first play from scrimmage now as they spotted the ball at the 27, and the intended receiver for Edinburgh, the pass from Jared Keller to number 81, A.J. Turner, is off of his hands. So the big guy who caught a touchdown in the first quarter, not able to hold on to this one. It's incomplete.
Yeah, they had the one-on-one coverage with the linebacker. They decided to take a chance at it. It was about a 50-50 shot. Nice job by Zaffram, I believe, who was on the coverage.
Here's Keller again, and a pass inside on a seam route, and it's grabbed and caught for about 5. And the receiver was Walter Fletcher out of the backfield. Gets it to the 32-yard line. It'll be third down.
Twice now, Edinburgh has decided to attack the middle of the field with little slant patterns. First with the tight end, second with the running back out of the backfield. It was really just a bit of a halfback to scoot out of the backfield, 5-yard pop.
So third and 5 from the 32. Edinburgh, Keller snaps, throws, has his man. It's caught. It's Fletcher again out of the backfield. Good containment, but he gets away from Tim Vernick, and he's going to get near the first down. Timmy Vernick had him stop for no gain, let him get away, and let's see where they spot it. It's going to be critical. It's right at that first down marker, and it will be a first down. 5-yard grab by number 5.
Yeah, that's one where you just got to bring him down. You have an opportunity. It's one-on-one. You're the middle linebacker. He's the running back. Who's going to win that battle? You, as the linebacker, should be able to at least hold him long enough to have some other green jerseys get there. As I've been mentioning, gang tackling, if you're able to do that. But there are times that call for the one-on-one. Hey, got to make a play. Unfortunately, they just weren't able to pull that one off.
First and 10. Here's the snap to Keller. He drops back. He's looking downfield. Has a man breaking. It's going to be short of Walter Clark. And now we have a flag on Mark Carter, who bumped Clark as the ball was coming to the ground. It was underthrown, and that was one of those ones where Carter just was in, he was the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, it just.
Or wrong place at the right time, I guess.
He had one coverage and facing the wide receiver, and the receiver had to come back and try to catch the ball, and all of a sudden Carter just ended up running into him. It's the right call. It's just one of those unfortunate circumstances where stuff happens.
It's one of those ones that always draws the ire of one Glenn Thompson. Bob Cup Powder Friel with you here today. And Glenn is at home with a new baby girl. That's why he's off today. We wish him and his wife Jackie best wishes and congratulations. Great to have Tyler Friel in the booth today. Bob Cup back with you, and we appreciate the job that Tyler Friel and Glenn Thompson did last week in my absence in pulling out the victory. Thank you, Sean Lutz, for the game ball for my my absence.
We had to squeak one out there.
Yeah.
But honestly, since I've been doing Slow Prairie Rock football going back to last week, that drive for them to win the game, that's one of the best drives I've seen them have in the last 3 years. And we watched them go to the national quarterfinals. I mean, it was just a heck of a drive.
And they've had a bunch of drives today as they lead 52-21. Here's a handoff. No, it's a play fake. And, oh, boy, that actually was a play fake to Blake Reddick. And he has big yardage, scampering downfield all alone, and is inside the 20. And there's a flag down,
however.
I think
it's coming back again.
And it's going to be probably holding on Edinburgh. So, boy, the Fighting Scots really digging themselves a hole right now as far as the outside of the score, the penalties that they are stacking up. They have been very, very critical penalties.
Yeah, hey, they had an opportunity. Actually, they had a touchdown. There was a holding call there. Big play here, you bring it back as well, and so for every time they seem like they're going forward, they're moving backwards.
So they move back instead of being inside the 10-yard line, move the ball back to the 32-yard line, where it will be first and 10. Here's the snap in the shotgun is Keller. And he goes across the middle and misses his receiver. He threw it to the backside, too far for A.J. Turner to pull in. Just gave Turner no chance.
Oh, come on.
Turner now gets cranked, and a lineman comes out and starts barking at the Slippery Rock defenders. And he draws a penalty as for the green and white, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be a personal foul against Brad Zaffrom. They were jawing after the play. I think the offensive lineman for Edinburgh took exception that Timmy Vernick and Brad Zaffrom hit Turner after he dropped the ball, and Zaffrom just gave a little swat to the face of the Fighting Scots lineman. Officials saw it, and they pull out the flag for it.
So this is going to give Edinburgh prime real estate now after that 15-yarder. And that's the first time today the Rock has been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, per se. And it's unfortunate. They've been doing a pretty relative good job. That, you know, you can take the pass interference penalty because that's accidental almost. This one, well, as a result, Brad Zaffrom will come off the field and stand with his teammates on the sideline. Kind of a little detainment or jail sentence for a play because of his discretions.
But those are, I mean, I understand we're looking at a large lead here, 31 points. Those are the types of controllable penalties that Glenn and I were talking about last week, and then you and I have talked about this week. There are going to be guys on the field who think they can get under your skin. They think that they can talk their way into drawing that flag. And I don't know what was said down there, but that has all the vibes of an offensive lineman who was just figuring Zaffrom was teetering right on that moment where he could have been able to, or just about ready to do something like that. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
They send a man in motion, now handed off to Fletcher up the middle as they fake that trickery again to Tanaz Gregory. But Fletcher goes forward for, looks like, 4 yards.
And they haven't gone to it, but as outside contain, you still have to be ready for that. If they are sending Gregory, even though every time they've gone up the middle for it, that's what they want you to think before they hand it, or rather dish it off to Gregory, and he's got no one on the outside containment.
Now here's Keller going for the end zone, has a man turn around, and turning around in front of him is the very own Eric Glover-Williams, who knocks the ball away. He actually had a chance to catch that for an interception. He had such good position.
Yeah, Rock went offsides, so that'll move him up 5 yards.
So now all of a sudden, three penalties on this drive for the Rock alone. They are starting to add up, but that'll be 5 more yards, and it'll make it a second and very short now, 2nd and 2.
I think officials now, by the way, are trying to deal with how to call offsides, and what I mean by that is when to blow the whistle. I think there's an old-school room of thought where if a defender goes offsides that you let the play happen. That particular case there, I think the ball should have been blown dead because the Rock got into the neutral zone. Edinburgh snapped it, and there were about half the defenders and offensive guys on the field that were just standing around.
Now here's Keller, and he's going to call his own number and go forward for a couple of yards, but it's enough to get the first down. As I said, it was a 2nd and 2. He just gets the yardage necessary and sets it up for a 1st and goal now for the Fighting Scots. High snap, it's over his head. Walter Fletcher goes back and picks it up, and now he's on the run, and he's back across the 20 to the 15 and back inside the 10-yard line. That could have been a disaster. It went way over the head of Keller, but the sidecar saw it go over his head immediately. Fletcher turned around and ran back to pick it up.
And I had every thought that that was going to be a touchdown. Stupid plays like that just have a chance of breaking down and the running back being able to take it into the end zone, especially with Fletcher's ability to run. I had every thought in my mind that that was going to be a touchdown. Rock, though, able to get to the ball, chase down Fletcher, and stop him short.
So the ball moved backward now to the 8-yard line. So he did a good job getting back some of the lost yardage, but still lost some. Now in motion goes James Clark. Here's the snap to Keller. He's looking end zone. He's looking, and it's knocked or it's hit across the middle to A.J. Turner, who's hit as he drops across the 5 to the 4. They pick up 4, but it's now going to be a 3rd and goal.
Chad Kuhn just a little too late on the pressure, still was able to give a nice hit on Jared Keller, but maybe a half second quicker, and he would have been able to pick up a sack.
So a hurry and the quick force, but they still complete the pass for 4 yards. But 3rd and goal now from the 4. Keller calls the signals, stands in the shotgun, and he'll hand it off to Fletcher, who's just pummeled by Brad Zaffram. Wow. No gain. Actually loses yardage. Back to the 8-yard line, a loss of 4. As Fletcher was pile-drived.
That is a hit. Sit there. We talked about form tackling earlier in this broadcast. That's picture perfect. Low to the ground. You hit him right between the numbers. You lift and you drive.
Losing 52-21. Edinburgh is going for it on 4th and goal from the 8. Sidecar left is Fletcher. As Jared Keller calls the signals here. Now the sidecar left will be sidecar right as he changed sides, does Fletcher. Here's the snap. Time, throw, caught, touchdown.
Catch it.
Tomas
wow.
Gregory pulls it in behind 2 Rock defenders who had good coverage.
Yeah.
And he pulled it in.
I thought it was well covered. You had Kyle Hall. They read it early because that play was clearly right from the get-go going to be a jump ball to Graham in the back of the end zone. And had maybe Marcus Carter turned around just a bit to get an eye on where that ball actually was. Sometimes you try to read the eyes of the wide receiver, see those pupils get a little bit bigger. You can tell when someone's about ready to catch a ball. I think if Carter gets his head turned around, sees that ball coming in, he would have been able to get a hand in there easily. Just he wasn't able to turn around and identify where the football was at.
Aided by 3 Slippery Rock penalties on that drive, Edinburgh completes an 11-play, 73-yard drive. Took 5 minutes off the third quarter clock, but it puts them on the board now and makes it a 52-28 football game. And we'll be back with the kickoff after 30 seconds. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
Rock Station and Rock Football on 97.7.
52-28 the score. Slippery Rock on top of Edinburgh just after a Fighting Scots touchdown on a fourth down. Rock getting ready to receive now. Tyler Friel, Bob Cup with you from Mahalik Thompson Stadium on homecoming. Bob, quite a large crowd here.
Yeah, it's impressive to see. Of course, usually is for homecoming, but even when you add in the Edinburgh fans, there is a very, very solid crowd of probably 7,000 or better here today. We've got a flag on the kickoff as it goes out of bounds, and the Rock going to get a comfortable space to begin their next drive at the 35-yard line. After the 11-play, 73-yard drive, Edinburgh, well, they had a touchdown called back that would have been a kickoff, so 5 minutes later, they finally got it to make it 52-28.
Smart play there, and actually, I should have paid a little bit more closer attention to who was on the return on that side. Allowing that ball just to continue to roll, I think there is maybe an inherent idea that I have to catch every ball that comes to me. But making that decision to see if that ball rolls out of bounds, because it's going two places. It's either going into the end zone for a touchback or it's going out of bounds. You get the procedure penalty, and that moves you up to the 35-yard line. That's a big game changer.
And something big right now, Jermaine Wynn is back on the field after receiving treatment. So he's back in the slot. First and 10 Rock, 35-yard line. Roland Rivers remains in the game. Sidecar, Wes Hills to his left. And it's Hills with the handoff. And he goes into the pile and just powers his way forward for 4 yards. That was just a man among simple human beings.
He does that extra effort. I mean, you get really bogged down right at the line of scrimmage. You keep the legs churning, and then right as he's going to the ground, he lunges forward for an additional 2 yards.
Here comes a show of pressure, so the Rock does a check with me as Edinburgh was showing a blitz. They were sending, is that Levi Becker? Or no, the strong safety, Brandon Anderson. Here's a screen pass to the outside. It's Jake Cirillo, and he'll go out of bounds as he's hit at the 40 and dropped at the 41.
That play, it goes both ways for me. If you have two defenders out in coverage, then that play really just doesn't go anywhere, especially when you're giving it to Cirillo. Cirillo just isn't as fast as other slot wide receivers. So if you've got two guys out there, you're really not going to get much yardage. They did pick up one, though.
And it'll make it a third and about five. And the Rock will have to get to the 45 from the 41 for the first down. Here's Rivers. Here comes pressure. He dumps it off. It's Jermaine Wynn. He's got the first down. Puts his head down and is tackled going forward across the 45 to the 48-yard line. Good to see Jermaine, who has 3 touchdowns out there. He'd come off the field limping and back on the field. Makes that catch, but he now is laboring a bit again. And it looked like he had intention to come off the field, but now moves back up into the slot.
I'd bet a lot of money this is going to be a run up the middle.
It's first down and 10 at the 48.
I'm not going to do that, though, Bob. I'm just saying I think it's going to be a run up the middle.
Well, let's see what they do. Here's the snap. It's a fake to Wes Hills up the middle, and it's a dish-off screen to the tight end, Jake Cirillo.
Great call.
And he goes across the 50 into Edinburgh territory down to the 46-yard line.
Because Edinburgh's defense was thinking on the same line that I was. You had guys collapsing on the inside, and again, Rivers doing a nice job of selling that handoff before allowing Cirillo to get out and get into the open. That was a nice option. I believe that would have been an RPO because you have that run-pass option.
That was a 6-yard gain after the 7-yard gain of Jermaine Wynn. Second and 4 now for the Rock into Edinburgh territory. Here's the snap to Rivers. He drops back. Here comes some pressure. He'll step up and run. He's going to go for the first down and more. Breaks a tackle, then is tripped across the 35-yard line. But in deeper into Edinburgh territory, he'll pick up 13.
Boy, having that factor that you can run is... it's a game changer. Edinburgh sending 6 on that play. Rivers steps up, finds room to run, and then he runs well. It's not like he's chugging along. He's going to be able to pick up significant yardage, as we've seen so far today and really throughout the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, not bad for a third-string quarterback, eh? First and 10 at the 35 for the Rock. Sidecar right is Wes Hills. Here's the snap to Roland Rivers. He's looking downfield once Henry Litwin. He has him wide open. Henry Litwin, touchdown. He broke behind the defender, and somebody didn't pick up where he was going to trail to. It's a 35-yard touchdown reception. Henry Litwin back on the touchdown scoreboard.
But these passes from Roland Rivers, granted, Litwin wide open, but he's hitting Litwin in stride. Maybe Litwin slows down a step or two to catch that. But the fact that Litwin doesn't have to run back to the ball or make a hard sprint to the corner of the end zone, Rivers is floating these things right to where they need to be. This is as impressive as a display of quarterbacking and any level of football that you'll see in a long time.
Five touchdown passes from Roland Rivers today, and he has one on the ground as well. He's got another six touchdown day, second time in a month that he's had that. 25 of 32 for 403 yards now. Amazing.
Those stats are outrageous.
Six plays, 65 yards. The Rock has taken a 59-28 lead. We're back after this 30-second timeout. Rock football on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's.
Back on the Rock broadcast here. Bob Cupp, Tyler Friel with you. The Rock has scored again. Henry Litwin, 35-yard touchdown reception from Roland Rivers. And now I've taken a 59-28 lead, and the Rock going to kick it off again. They've been trying to keep it away from Kyle Gaelic, and reasons for that, he's a threat to bring it back for a touchdown every time. They squib it downfield, and he's got it at the 15, 20, 25, 30, goes upfield and is hit and tackled across the 35 to the 36.
I go back and forth on the squib. I don't know. I mean, it just, you're allowing really that ball to get and be picked up at the 15 or 20 yard line. And the way Chapel boots the ball, I think it's worth that with the hang time included in there, that those guys can get down the field, and also you're probably having guys pick it up around the 5 or 10 yard line as opposed to maybe 10 yards further down the field.
Well, first and 10 Edinburgh.
But if that's the only thing we're complaining about today, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, really. Here's a handoff to Walter Fletcher, and he does not make it back to the line of scrimmage before he is hit and dropped. We got one referee saying that he got to the line of scrimmage, another standing back a yard. Let's see where they spot it. They spot it just shy of the line of scrimmage, so we'll say no gain.
I know this makes no sense, but Brad Zafram is a football player. Like, if you were to put in the dictionary, hey, what does a football player look like? It's Brad Zafram. Aggressive, flies across the field, fundamental tackling. He does a lot of things right. He's a fun player to watch defensively.
Second and 10 now. Here's Keller throws. Caught. What, going up high was that Walter Fletcher out of the backfield? Or no, that was Blake Reddick who came down with that. He went up high to pull that in, all for about 3 yards.
Again, just the accuracy from Keller could be a little bit more refined. He's just leaving his wide receivers in some bad areas. And you also see that across the middle, if you're missing on your timing patterns across the middle, not only are you not picking up the completions, but then you're leaving your the wide receivers or tight ends in a very dangerous situation.
Third and 7 now for Edinburgh. Here's the snap to Keller. He's looking, has a man cutting inside, and he makes the catch.
Wow.
But he's short of the first down. He hit Kyle Carrington, who looked like it was well defended.
Yeah.
But he's going to be short by a yard. It'll be fourth and 1.
There have been some catches from this Edinburgh wide receiving core that have been very good. You go back to the touchdown that was hauled in by Tanaz Gregory. Some of these passes across the middle that they've been able to reel in. They've got some talented wide receivers for the Fighting Scots.
It's fourth and 1. Edinburgh is going for it, and they're still in their own territory. Fourth and 1. Here's the handoff to Walter Fletcher. He goes into the pile, and it is stopped. He was driven backward, a tackle for a loss. Back to the 45-yard line. The Rock going to get the ball back on a turnover on downs. I think the first one there was Tristan McDonald.
Those are the types of plays that are, man, they can really start to bring a defense together where you can look around, especially at the front four, because that's where that play starts. If you're able to get a drive off the ball like they were, because by the time that Fletcher got to the line, he actually ran right into the back of one of his linemen. Dante Rizzo was there, and that's all because of the push that front four was able to get. You had the linebacker swarming to the ball. That's a heck of a play by the defensive front, and we've seen that now on a weekly basis. We talked about when this game started how well the run defense has gotten compared, especially to last year, and that right there shows it.
Here's Braden Fuffman into the game now, and he's going to go inside and then go outside and pick up 5 yards on a first down carry. But we do have a flag down.
Oh, not a flag. Or no. New quarterback.
Oh, wait. Taylor King is back in action here. I was going to say Tim Suave and Zach Bader, you were talking about
yeah.
that push. They were the guys actually credited for the tackle for a loss. So, Taylor King, he's been on the shelf with an injury, but he's back on the field now in replacement of Roland Rivers. Roland hasn't had the opportunity to play many fourth quarters this year, and that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
So the clock runs out after the 5-yard carry by Braden Fuffman, and we will go to the fourth quarter of this homecoming game here at Slippery Rock University's Mahalik Thompson Stadium. The Rock leading it 59-28. We'll be back to start the fourth quarter in a moment on The Rock Station 97.7.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
The Butler Agway Route 68 just west of Butler reminds you it's time to seed and feed. If you want a beautiful lawn in the spring, you've got to do the work now. Pick up bags of fertilizer, lime, and don't forget the grass seed. Browse the pumpkins, gourds, and mums with huge varieties ready to decorate. USA Pet Foods, always. And order your wild bird feed by October 15th for pickup October 31st. Sauerkraut crocks in every size, baskets, greeting cards, everything outdoors. Count on Butler Agway for seed, feed, and everything you'll need.
Slippery Rock offensive lineman Christopher Larson, Amir McDowell. Let's go Rock.
This is Dakota Clannigan, Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
And we're back here to start the fourth quarter of action, and quickly a handoff to Braden Fuffman. And he goes for about a yard, and that's it. And it'll stack up a third down and about four here for the Rock with Taylor King into the game after Roland Rivers went 25 of 32, 403 yards and 5 touchdown passes. He was sacked one time, was not picked off. He rushed 13 times for 82 yards and a touchdown. Wes Hills right now pass to the outside intended for, I believe that, was that Zach Cirillo out in the stretch? No, that was actually into the game now, Ahmad Morris Walker. And it's incomplete. So Taylor King's first pass of the day goes incomplete. It'll be fourth down, and I think the Rock going to go ahead and punt the ball here.
There was actually part of me that thought
he was going to try the long field.
I thought maybe Sean Lutz was going to get greedy.
So Chaplin comes out not to kick the field goal, but to kick the punt for the first time today. And the ball is going to be dropped at the 15 and scooped up by Henry Litwin, and that's where Edinburgh will start out first and 10. So the first time today that that Jake Chaplin has had to punt. So, Wes Hill's out of the game now as well. He'll end the day 12 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Just another big day for big number four.
Yeah, you're looking at really what he's doing yards per carry, and there's not a lot of big runs that he has. But 7.3 yards per carry, that's a remarkable number. He just has that ability. I've talked about it for weeks now, just that extra yards. That is such an intangible that with running backs. There are some that go down on the first breath of contact. Wes Hills continues to keep those legs churning and picks up the extra yards that otherwise or running backs don't.
Amazing to say this as the first pass by Keller is knocked down at the line of scrimmage, incomplete. Interesting to note, we're looking at a game that has a score of 59-28, yet there have only been 6 red zone scoring chances for both teams.
Really?
The Rock is 4-for-4, and Edinburgh 2-for-2.
Wow. I'd imagine there was a 100% success rate.
Second and 10 now. Here's Keller. Throws downfield, has a man wide open, and he catches it. And that being, I believe, Blake Reddick on the far side. And he went up. That is a tall young man. Is Blake Reddick, number 6. He's a redshirt senior out of Stoneboro, went to Lakeview High School up in the Sandy Lake Stoneboro area. So they get the first down. Here's the snap. Play action, knocked down. That is the fourth pass knocked down at the line of scrimmage today by the Rock.
And I'm pretty sure it was Brad Zaffram, again, who is responsible for all four of those. Again, his ability to fly to the football, that's that type of athleticism you want in an outside linebacker. He gets the hands up. He just is able to get into the passing lane and the vision of Keller. He's just played a really good game today.
Intended receiver was James Clark, but Brad Zaffram said no. Second and 10. Here's the snap. Drop back, Keller throws downfield, and this one is way out of bounds. Actually, Kyle Hall had the best shot of that, and he was on the sideline.
And it was not that far. Actually, I think when he got his hands on it, his foot may have been in bounds.
Wow.
It was a heck of an athletic play by Kyle Hall, but just an errant pass from Keller.
13:30 to go in the game. 59-28 to score. The Rock in control. They'll travel to Clarion next week for a noon kickoff.
They scare me.
Third and 10 for Edinburgh. Here's Keller. Drops back. No pressure. Throws downfield in and out of the hands of Eric Glover-Williams, and he goes to the ground in a heap of disgust as he knows he let one go. But it is fourth down.
Be interested to see if they decide to punt here. Looks like they will. I understand why they'll punt. When you're losing by this much, is there that big of a difference if you lose 65-28 or 59-28?
Yeah, really not.
I've always thought I would go for it, you know, if I was in the position to make that call. To me, that just shows, hey, we're not giving up. We're going to try to go out there and score points.
How about there's a high school coach that is totally against any kind of punting.
Yeah.
He'll go for it every time. Here's the high kick, and this is going to be a fair catch called for by Eric Glover-Williams, and he pulls it in at the 26-yard line, where Slippery Rock will start out first and 10, and leading here 59-28, 13-14 to go in the game.
And that coach will go for it even if he's at his own one. It's just a fundamental philosophy he has. I don't know if I would take it to that extent, but that's one thing that I really do like about Sean Lutz is I understand he's got a very talented special teams player in Jake Chaplo, but this offense moves the ball well. I have no problem with them going for it on fourth down, and Lutz has a tendency to do that.
Here's a play action for Taylor King, and he throws it in the vicinity of Chris Montanard, who's into the game, and we've got a flag. This might be unsportsmanlike.
I think it's just going to be pass interference.
Okay. Well,
but
the ball was kind of underthrown behind him, so it's one of those deals. But he took a big hit at the end of that play.
Zerl Hendrick was on the coverage, and I think he may have a legitimate complaint. That's such a difficult call for the officials because you do have to try to figure out where that ball was thrown, when that initial contact was made, and that all happens in a blink of an eye.
And it is, yeah. Now they call pass interference on Edinburgh, so that's going to give the Rock a first down on what should have been an incompletion. So Taylor King into the game here, and remember, he was a starter who had taken over for Andrew Kester after he was injured and looked pretty good out of the gate. Taylor King going 20 of 29, two interceptions, one touchdown for 335 yards, but remember, he was hurt on the ending play of the Shippensburg game in which the fumble occurred that gave Shippensburg the victory. Taylor is injured with an ankle injury on that. He's been rehabbed, now is back, and is playing the backup to Roland Rivers, who certainly has taken his opportunity and locked it away.
Yeah.
They're not going to get him out of the lineup, but Taylor King in relief.
He just keeps getting better and better each week. This is by far, at least in my estimation, one of his, if not his best performance of the season. And I really look at his completion percentage. 78% today, Roland Rivers was hooking up on passes, 25 for 32. And they weren't easy ones. It's not like this day was built on checkdowns. This day was built on some long tosses.
Here's Taylor King now. He's going to drop back, throw, has his man. He avoids a tackle. That's on the far side, and I'm trying to get a number on that.
Because it was Zach Cirillo?
Oh, it is Cirillo. It looked like he came out of the slot.
Yeah.
But the tight end grabs it for a first down toward midfield. That's why I was kind of shocked, because I didn't think
I'm with you.
Zach was in the game.
Not
still,
to mention the nifty move he put on the cornerback after he brought the ball in to go pick up the first down.
That was a 14-yard grab to move the chains near midfield. The Rock now moving with the clock turning under 12 minutes. Great opportunity to really get some solid reps, too, for Taylor King, not just handing the ball off. Now he will play action fake, and he's going to run. And he's going to run for 10 yards and go down after 11. And he's ticked off at himself because he did get knocked down. He felt he could have had more, but he gets the chains moved again and gets the ball to the 42-yard line of Edinburgh.
That's just such an effective play. And if you have quarterbacks who can read that well, again, holding it into the chest of the running back for a while before opting to take it and run himself, and King showing some athleticism, getting out of the pocket and putting on actually, yeah, he did pick up the first down, huh?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he's not a small guy either.
No.
You know, Taylor King, 6'4", 230-pounder. Here's the snap. Pitch out to the outside. Braden Fuffman uses a stiff arm to get more yardage. He should have been dropped for a loss. Instead, he gets back to the line of scrimmage and gets plus one. So he'll pick up a yard on that play, but he's stiff-armed one of the Edinburgh Fighting Scots so hard he drove him into the ground, and he is slow to get up. That was an entertaining watch, but it was the price paid by Branson Smith, the cornerback. Of course, he was the one doing some of the key jawing in that first half, so a little comeuppance there from the green and white. Second and nine now for the Rock. Here's the snap. Oh, delayed handoff. He gets it to Nasir Weaver, who does a nice job, and he powers forward for the 9 yards and plus one to the 30-yard line. First down carry. The ball, the way it was snapped, King had to bring it to another side. It was kind of an odd handoff, and he was able to get it to Weaver, who was ahead of steam before he even had the ball.
But there was a lot of room to run. The offensive line creating space for Nasir Weaver, a hole where maybe I would have even got a gain of like two maybe before they would have caught me. Great job by the O-line.
This here Weaver, sidecar to the right of Taylor King. Rock first down to the 30-yard line. Clock turning, 10:16 to go in the game. Now it's a pitch to the outside. Here's Weaver again, and he's tripped up and knocked down after no gain. That was just very, very solid work that time by number 62, Alex Molik. Check that. Yeah, this must be Molik playing. He's listed as an offensive lineman, but he's playing defense.
Yeah, he can play both sides of the ball.
So no gain, second and 10.
Nice solid drive here, though, so far from the Rock. You're in that time of the game where you're trying to kill some clock, but you don't want to be going three and out. They've put together solid a nice solid drive.
4 minutes long so far. Here's another handoff to Weaver, and he goes nowhere again, so no gain, back-to-back plays. But that was the seventh play of this particular drive. It'll be third down and 10. And by the time they snap this ball, the clock will be down under 9 minutes, or should be. They do the check with me to the sideline. Now they'll regather, letting some clock wind. No hurry to snap the ball. And they do now. And here comes the pressure. Taylor King going to be sacked. He's trying to get rid of it, but he
did.
No.
Nasir Weaver's right there.
They threw the ball to the 40-yard line number, and Nasir Weaver was trying to get there, but they're going to call him for an intentional grounding, as they really should have probably started to blow the whistle because he was wrapped up. But he got rid of it, and then they throw the flag late, and much to your dismay.
Well, now I'm trying to think. Do you have to be out of the tackle box? Even there was a receiver in the area. That I know for sure, because Nasir Weaver was right there. Don't get me wrong, he was trying to get rid of the ball. But 26 was right near where that ball landed. And now I'm trying to think, do you have to be out of the tackle box for that to be a requirement? I thought if you had a receiver in the vicinity, then all bets are off. It should be no flag. And I thought that's what happened.
And maybe they didn't agree that he was quite in the clear of that area, but oh well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be a punting situation. One of the first times where I'm overreacting to a play, and Sean Lutz actually isn't. He's calm, cool, collected on the sideline for a flag that I thought was a bad one.
So fourth and 22 as a result of the penalty. And here comes the boot from Jake Chaplin, just the second one of the day. And back deep is Zorro Hendrick, and he's going to fair catch it at the 12-yard line, where Edinburgh will start out first and 10. 8:48 mark of the game, 59-28 is the score. Once again, we'll be coming to you live from Clarion University next week. Back-to-back road games for the Rock. In fact, barring any postseason activity, these will be the final 2 weeks that Slippery Rock is away from Mahalik Thompson Stadium. Noon kickoff next week. That means the Coach Sean Lutz Show will come your way at 11:30 in the morning. The following week, well, if you take care of business next week, could be an exciting day as the Rock will travel to Cal for a 1 o'clock kickoff, and then it's back home November 3rd for Gannon at home, and then Bloomsburg on the schedule, but let's hope that there's something else happening with an Eastern team making a visit to Western Pennsylvania. There's play action for Keller, and he's going to get hit as he lets go of the ball, and he was hit low. But it is caught and pulled in by Andre Dowdell, and that's going to be a first down grab, and fortunately Keller got up fine.
Yeah.
But that makes you nervous when you see a quarterback get hit low in the knee area. But he gets the ball out to the 40-yard line in a big pass play. That goes, 20 yards on the spot.
Yeah.
Here's a little play action look. Keller throws it toward Dowdell in the sideline route, but he lets it go through his hands incomplete.
There are just some throws where he doesn't look comfortable. You know, back in the pocket, it just doesn't look like a strong delivery. And actually, Bob, I think he is working with a bit of he seems to be trying to get his legs a little bit looser, stretch them out. That last play, I think he got a little banged up on when he was brought down low.
So it'll be a second down after the incompletion. That pass play, by the way, went for 28 yards on the first play from scrimmage in this drive. Trip receivers near side for Keller. He does the delayed handoff. And this is Kyle Gaelic into the game?
I believe
That's
so.
That's the first time we've seen him tote the ball.
Which is surprising, don't you think,
with what
we've seen from him from in the return game.
But when you have Walter Fletcher,
and
they don't do any kind of rotation with him. He's out there every play. Where the Rock at least does some subbing for Wes Hills every once in a while, even though he's the primary back. That was a 4-yard carry, by the way, by number 35. Now it'll make it a 3rd and 6 for Edinburgh. They've got trip receivers near side. Amazing they don't try to get the ball to Tanaz Gregory more than they do.
Yeah.
There's just no rapport between Keller and number 2 right now. Here's Keller. He's looking downfield, and he has Kyle Gaelic, who catches it. He avoids a tackle, gets the first down. He's hit, tripped forward, and comes down at the Rock 45-yard line, and that'll move the chains, a gain of 19.
And to be honest with you, I'm surprised Edinburgh has not gone with more plays similar to that, where they would be sending some wide receivers deep down the field and either releasing a tight end, a slot receiver, or a running back underneath and just checking down all day. Keller's accuracy isn't his strong point. If you're giving him open checkdowns, you could be picking up 5 yards each time.
Here's a pass from Keller, and he tries to hit Dowdell, but he hit him on the back side of where he needed to be, and Dowdell almost did a good job of reining that in but dropped it through no fault of his own. It was just a poorly thrown ball.
And even there, okay, you've got a 5 and in. That pass was thrown behind. You want to try to eliminate these timing routes that Keller has had to do, because he's just a little bit off in all of them. If you give him easy checkdowns, because it looks like the Rock, especially on this drive, are willing to give that to him, I think that's where he's going to succeed.
Here's a play fake and a pitch inside to Gaelic, and he's going to pick up 11. That was a nicely designed play right there, as Keller faked that he was going to throw to the top side, immediately handed off on the delayed draw to Gaelic, and he powers forward for 11 yards. Good thing is, though, it keeps the clock moving. It turns under 7 minutes now. First and 10 to the 35.
I love a shovel pass. It's one of my favorites. Back when the Pitt Panthers had that complex offense where they were shifting guys everywhere, that's when I really saw the shovel pass and how really effective it can be.
Now here's a pass to the outside.
Ooh!
My goodness, a big tackle made on Gaelic that time. That was that Spadacine? Or no. Eric Glover Williams with the tackle on that.
Good form tackling. Here was a guy that came in as an offensive transfer. He was a wide receiver at the Ohio State University. Came over here. Rock had some struggles in the secondary in terms of depth. They flipped 19, make him a safety, then move him to cornerback. And he's done a nice job really growing into that role, using his athleticism to really make some plays.
2nd and 9 after the 1-yard carry. or grab, that is. And here's a pass inside. Now there's Tanaz Gregory. Comes in on a seam route and gets it across the middle and moves the chains. He picks up 10.
Yeah, they had him matched up one-on-one with Terrell Gabriel. Graham does a little bit of a juke move, works his way to the inside, and you just have a one-on-one speed advantage. Keller was able to identify that and threw a nice pass.
First and 10, Edinburgh on the move. Down to the 21-yard line, 59-28, they trail here in the fourth quarter. Here's Keller back, no pressure, as the containment
has
done well
that?
To Gary Debian, and he passes it downfield, and Dowdell comes down with it inside the five. It'll be first and goal on a beautiful play.
That was not the most pleasant pass that Dowdell could have received. He went up top, reeled it in over top of a defender. I do like the idea from Jared Keller to hold on to that ball, not check down in that particular instance, give time for his wide receivers to make a play.
Now here's the first down play handoff to Gaelic, and he'll get a yard out of it before he's driven backward and he loses the ball, but the whistles had already begun to blow. So he picks up two on that first down carry on first and goal. So the clock continuing to turn. It'll be under 5 minutes now as Edinburgh goes for their fifth score of the day. But the Rock has done a lot more than that.
Yes.
59-28 as the offensive subs have been coming in, with Wes Hills going 12 carries, 88 yards today and a touchdown. Roland Rivers, 13 carries, 82 yards and a touchdown, the quarterback, and he passed for 403 yards and five touchdowns. Now here's a bad snap again, and Keller loses it and has to dive on the ball across the 10 to the 12. It'll be a loss of 10. That's the second bad snap we've seen on this drive that he's lost.
And those are backbreakers. I understand it's a 59-28 game, but you're still looking to get points on the board. And when you're that close to have a mistake that knocks you back almost 10 yards, those are the ones that kill you.
Actually, not this drive. I should say it was a bad snap on their last drive that ended up being a turnover on downs to Walter Fletcher, actually. And that hurt, you know, that hurt them from kept them from actually getting a touchdown in that scenario. Now we've got a pass into the end zone, incomplete. Eric Glover Williams having some fun out there today. Intended receiver was Tanaz Gregory. It's funny how these Fighting Scots are doing a lot of jawing to the Rock sideline, and I don't think they have much jawing to speak of today. But it's been going on all afternoon and still is. Fourth and goal from the 12. Clock stopped now at 3:49 because of the incompletion. And an empty backfield set. Now a throw to the outside, and the receiver turned inside, and the ball went over his head. That was Khalil Jackson who was out there. He came in. The ball went out. It goes incomplete. It'll be a turnover.
I actually don't know who that ball was intended for. There were two wide receivers on the route, one coming toward the goalpost, one going to the pylon, and that pass was thrown somewhere in between them. If it was for the guy underneath who was coming inside, I don't like that play design because it did not give them a look at the end zone, and it would not have been a touchdown. They had three men to the top of the field. The Rock going with a quasi-man look. I think each guy had their responsibilities, but they had matchups I thought were favorable, including a linebacker matched up with a tight end. I think that was something maybe they could have exploited.
Well, the Rock will take over, and Nasir Weaver in the backfield with Taylor King. He takes the handoff, tries to stretch the field, but only gets a yard out of that carry. So a 13-play drive by Edinburgh comes up empty with nothing to show. And the Rock taking over probably for the final time today as the clock turns to 3:25 after the, they gave him 2 yards on that carry. And the Rock in no hurry to snap the ball. They'll let the play clock wind down to about 10 or so, and that'll take the clock down to about 3 minutes, as they're going to come away with a huge victory today, especially one coming off of that emotional rivalry win at homecoming at Indiana last week, to come back out and really just lay a pasting on a team that has had your number.
There, as a run goes for no game, I think it was Nasir Weaver. There are times, I think, we talk about Sean Lutz. He's now in his third year as head coach for this Rock program, and I think it's taken some time for him to get an idea of what he wants to do as a head coach. I think this team has had some success in the previous 2 years. But preparation-wise, what do I need to do as a head coach? What are the things that I need to say? What are the plans that we need to implement? How do I communicate that to my offensive and defensive coaches? You know, I think he's just gotten a lot better at all of those.
Here's Taylor King once again getting wrapped up, and he had just barely gotten out of the tackle box and lets it go. And I'm not sure if they called him down or if he got rid of the ball.
I think they did.
They said they were calling him for the sack. Not really sure. Well, they were trying to get the first down, obviously. It was a 3rd and 9. Now it'll be 4th and 9, and they'll punt.
You're actually better off that he went down, because that way the clock rolls.
Yeah, I just didn't like the fact that we're not just letting the clock tick away here. But you know what? I marvel as you watch the development of Sean Lutz as a head coach now. You know, after watching a legend like George Mihalik and the way he prepared his teams and his thought process, really love the tactical thoughts that Sean Lutz has his team prepared with. Really, you see that a lot in their response in the second half. This is a team that comes, you know, usually comes ready to play. Third quarter, really ready to play as the punt comes to Dowdell, and he pulls it in. And runs across the 45 to about the 43-yard line. And that's where Edinburgh will start out with 1.5 minutes to go in the game. But you just see the preparation and the thought process. There's some keen insight that we get to hear during the week that I'm very, very impressed with Sean's, just the way he prepares his team.
There's a big difference from going to be a defensive coordinator to being a head coach. And as an outside observer, I mean, you and I obviously have no idea what that means. But outside, you can see people who are geniuses when it comes to being a defensive coordinator, but they get into a head coaching position, and there are different things that you have to do. Sean Lutz is continuing to grow into that role, and when I look at preparation, I'm looking at the way his team came out of an hour-and-a-half break against IUP, diligent, you know, well-executed game plan, and they're doing a lot of good things.
Here's a handoff up the middle to Kyle Gaelic, and he's just going to run crazy. Boy, I just cannot imagine the thought process of why Wayne Bradford does not get that guy on the field
even in a
whole
slot.
Lot more.
You see what the Steelers do with Ryan Switzer?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you could open and incorporate some of those ideas with Gaelic.
So here's Gaelic again, and now he'll just go straight up the middle on this, but he picked up 20 yards on that previous play, and it was just a simple rush, and he got up off right tackle and took off for 20. Now this time he picks up 2.
Yeah, the 5'9 senior. I mean, obviously he's had opportunities to play, and I understand you're playing behind Walter Fletcher, but I think there's ways to incorporate him in the offense that you can. And just final thoughts on Sean Lutz. Again, you look at these past 2 weeks, a team that's had your number the past 2 years, and then a big-time win against IUP. This could have been a very easy trap game for the Rock. They were prepared. Their offense looked good. It was just this looks like a well-coached football team right now.
And, you know, it reminds you of the success the 2015 team had that went a long way, and they ran into the same kind of stumble early in their season where they lost a game they probably should have won. Now you have a team that definitely should have won the Shippensburg game, but they're using that as motivation for the rest of their season.
Yeah, and also scoreboard watching. Gannon's up on count.
Wow, that'd be huge.
9-7.
Here's a pass to the outside, and the tackle made by Slippery Rock's Devion Franklin. And that's going to do the game. That'll be the final play of the game as he's knocked out of bounds, but the clock had already turned to zero. And the Rock comes away with a 59-28 victory. We will be back to recap the action and set the stage for next week, and we will check on that Cal Gannon score and come back with more on Rock Football on The Rock Station 97.7.